Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 13. We are on lesson number 29, and will be today, and will be next week, and possibly the next week. But it is one of the longest lessons of section 5, and takes a lot of time talking about the Antichrist, much in the Bible about the Antichrist. And again, lesson 29. If you need lesson 29, raise your hand. Anyone? All right, we have some up here that need that. Where'd Dale Stewart go? That rascal. Do you see him back there, Doug? Maybe he went to get some made. Any in the drawer? It's very popular. Thousands have been sold. Well, maybe 10 to 20. Actually, none have been sold. They're free. See any back there? He might have gone to make some more. All right. Well, we're going to go on because you do have your Bibles, right? As long as we have our Bible, amen. All right. You found some? Who needs lesson 29? Raise your hand. All right. Very good. Joyce and Paul. Anybody else? All right. We're in good shape. We have it. Very good. Any others? Lesson 29? They're going very, very cheap, free. Smile, folks. It's okay. It's all right, really. You should have all the Christmas things put away now. No? No. All right. Some of you, it's hard on you, isn't it? Robin, you look like one that likes to keep your tree up a long time. No? You don't? Glenn does. Oh, really? All right. Sandra, do you keep yours up a long time?
Yes, it'll go down probably
next week. Next week. Now, is that your idea or Glenn's?
He doesn't have anything to do with
it. He doesn't help decorate?
No.
Glenn. Grouch. You're too busy reading all your stuff for me, serving God, helping the pastor. All right. We'll let you do that. Good. Our tree is up. It almost didn't get put up because I was sick, and I usually carry everything in. I usually set up the tree. I usually put the lights on, then I'm done. But this year I did nothing because I laid on the couch and the kids came over and they did it. And it was actually funny because I'm one of these that says I don't care, but I do care if it's not done right. You know, that's kind of the way we guys can be sometimes. And so everything had to be, you know, and so David says, all right, Dad, so you're not, oh, no, I feel terrible. And so I say, Dave, that's not right. Dave, turn it this way. Dave, put this, Dave. Dad, I thought you were sick. Well, you know how that is. But it's beautiful, and it's very... we have those little teeny lights. We used to always have those big lights from years ago. My mom passed all that stuff on, and everything. It's very, very subtle, very peaceful. And so Christmas at our house is very peaceful. Obviously, with no grandchildren, it's all older people, and it can be very nice and peaceful. So ours is up. It'll probably, Brenda will decide that. She decides everything. Because I don't care, and I'm guessing by Thursday everything will be put away, all the little doodads and stuff. How many of you have things that go back years and years? We do. We have some things like that. We have some tradition things. I spoke to the teens about traditions. We have some tradition things. Our manger scene, for example, is a traditional manger scene with the wise men and the shepherds, which, careful study of the Bible, we know the wise men came, at least it looks like they came later. I'll talk about that today. But with our manger scene, I might have said this already, but it has all the animals and everything. And Angela, since she was a little child, put the sheep, a lamb, she puts it up in the haymow. And we would tell her when she was just a child, we'd say, honey, the lamb can't get in the haymow, okay? That's not where lambs, a lamb has to be down here. And I mean, she's 28 years old, and first time It was set up. We noticed the lamb was in the hay mow, and that's one of those. We have little notes the kids wrote when they were children, and they're in one of the ornaments on the tree is like a stocking that you and there's little notes, and we get them out every year and look at them, and from when our children were cute, and tell them you used to be, and anyway, so we have all those things, and it's fun, but it's just been a. It's been different because I was sick for 2 weeks and really am just now feeling better. And so it was a blessing. We went to Bluffton, Indiana yesterday to be with Brenda's family. And, of course, her first Christmas without her father. And but we had a great time and we sang. We take our little carol books, took them there and make all the family sing. And I had one of my nephews, who's probably 30-some years old now, that I baptized when he was 7 years old, when I was in Bern, Indiana. Had him read the scripture, and he had his two sons on his lap while he read. It was just a lot of good stuff. So I could go on and on, but I'm going to get into the Bible here because we need to move on. we'll go from happiness to talking about the Antichrist. And so we are in Revelation chapter 13, and our verse is Revelation 13, 4. Let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 13, 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Revelation 13, 4. And again, Revelation 13, 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Revelation 13, 4. And Father, as we close out 2013, we rejoice over the many, many wonderful things that have taken place. So many great decisions, people saved, lives changed throughout the year because you're our God. And you work in our hearts, you work in our lives, you work in our church. And we thank you so much for the many victories. Though we've certainly seen our share of sorrow, trials, difficulties, we rejoice because you're our God. And we can study a book that shows us that we have victory. And we study the Revelation showing us that certainly the future looks very, very bright for your people. And so I pray that you'll encourage us today and you'll help us as we study a negative subject. I pray that your Holy Spirit will bring the comfort and, of course, the spirit of victory to our hearts now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we're talking about the Antichrist and taken from chapter 13, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast, one of the names for the Antichrist, the most powerful yet wicked person to walk on the face of the earth, a vile and a vicious man. We looked at number one, his personal characteristics, verses 1 and 2. We looked at number two, his promotion, verses 2 to 4 and verse 8. Again, we think about how amazing it is that one so vile, one so wicked, could be promoted into such a position of leadership, to become a dictator, to become that powerful. It is amazing. And so we've spent quite a bit of time talking about that. And by review, the first thing we looked at is his promotion was by permission of the Lord. We know that nothing happens without God allowing it. We have to believe that as Christians. Part of trust and obey is trusting God with those things we don't necessarily like. Trusting God with negative things. And, as a pastor, I've watched over the years, people struggle so much with those negative things. Well, how could God let this happen? Well, again, we have to trust God. We have to trust God like we did with our salvation. We have to trust God like we do with other things in our lives. We just have to learn to trust God. And so we recognize the Antichrist and all that he does. Permission of the Lord. In the services this morning and tonight, we'll talk about the wise men, and we'll talk about one of the most vicious things that has ever taken place on the face of the earth. We think back to Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut, I believe, a year ago, where elementary students were gunned down. Unbelievable. I was reading some of that again today, remembering just how shocked, and yet, very, very similar and probably worse because of the larger scale, King Herod on the children of Bethlehem. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And yet, okay, where's God? Well, God obviously allows things to happen. We don't understand it. But Antichrist, by permission of the Lord. As we see Antichrists, again, I know there's only one beast, but there are many that are against God and many that replicate the things of God and they're Antichrist. Understand, they're going to rise up, and as we watch that, we have to recognize God lets things happen. Okay, He allows things, He's God. Okay, so His promotion through the power of Satan. Satan is going to be very involved in that. Through the formation of a 10-nation organization. We talked about that, started on that last week. 10 dictatorship confederation. Now, again, we don't know a lot. Again, there's so much speculation, and I try to be very careful as I teach through Revelation that we recognize there is speculation. Lots of speculation. I read something recently in my studying of all of this and something I'd never heard before as far as speculation about this 10-nation confederation. We do not know, and we're not going to be able to name those 10 nations. Now, we can guess. We can speculate. And we started last week on on the idea that we know, as we think of the image in Daniel, the head and the whole body of this image, we know that those 10 toes in that image, obviously those 10 toes are attached to the feet, which are made out of iron and clay, and we understand the feet are attached to the legs, which are representative of the Roman Empire. But let's keep in mind it's all one body, all right? Because just as much as my toes are part of my legs, they're also part of my head. Not that I have a toe sticking out of my ear, but understand that, all right? And so for us to say, definitively that this 10-nation confederation comes out of, the whole body. Here's one thing, though, that there is in common as we think of, the Babylonian Empire. Remember, before that was the Assyrian Empire, and before that was the Egyptian Empire. Let's recognize that all of those empires, the seven empires, all of those empires have something in common that does stand out big time. And that is they all had a part in persecuting Israel. Okay? And so every one of them, that is the one, that is a common thread. Because again, Babylon, that's not Persia. Persia, well, that's not Greece, and so on and so forth. Rome, well, they're certainly not Babylon. They're all part of the same, but the one thing they have in common is persecuting Israel and persecuting God's people, which, again, this 10-nation confederation is going to bring forth and empower in one way or another the Antichrist. And so I don't think the figuring out who the 10 are is as important as what they are doing. And so I list it under the promotion of the Antichrist, because whatever this conglomerate is, it is going to promote the one who will persecute Israel, which again, that is God's will. That is one of the reasons for the tribulation. And so, again, we ended last week talking about ancient Babylon is Iraq, Persia is Iran, Greece is Syria. Well, what do those all have in common? Well, Islam and the Muslim, and so we could all, there's no doubt about it, but we don't know. You know, there was a time when Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist. How many of you remember those days? Oh, yeah, you know, you take his name, and if you take his name and put this code in, you'll have 666. And, you know, and we heard, and it's like, oh, okay, we got to get away from that, all right? We cannot get into those kinds of things. But we can understand that, all right, all of these, you know, the Babylonian Empire covered this area, and Persia covered, but then you get into the Roman Empire, which always is associated with Western powers, which would include the United States. Again, you've heard me say this before. If you've been around a while here, I do not see the United States in the end times. I don't see it. I see other countries. I see powers that are powers today. I don't see the United States. And again, I'm not going to fight with anybody over that. I just don't see it. I think a rapture destroys the United States. I believe that. I believe rapture takes place, and our enemies, who knows how many missiles are pointed at the United States of America? You know, who knows? And who knows how many key people are saved who have their finger on the trigger for the United States? God knows. And I promise you, the United States, when a rapture takes place, I promise you, of all the countries in the world, the one that is going to be the most affected is going to be the United States of America. And I'm not saying it's a Christian country. I'm just saying there are a lot of Christians in the United States that are key positions. That's a whole other subject. So the point is, okay, where's this? Who are these 10 nations? And everything. Well, you have the Roman Empire, you have Roman Catholicism. Revelation 17 talks about the mother of harlots, the whore. Again, going back into all the ancient religions coming out of Babylon. We've talked about that before. And an influence, obviously, against God. And the Roman Catholic Church, very, very... persecution of Christians for years and years. Well, you say, no, that's a Christian. No, it's not. And, we'll get into all of that. So the revived Roman Empire, what's that going to be? Well, I read something recently, said it's already happened. It was Hitler. And never heard that before. That was a new thing for me anyway, that it's already happened. But anyway, again, here's what we do know. We know that part of Egypt, part of Assyria, part of Babylon, part of the Medo-Persian Empire, part of the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, all of that together, each of these had a huge part in persecuting Israel. They had a huge part all together in persecuting God's people and being anti-God. And they, I believe it will be a unifying of all those dictatorships, all those powers, those world powers in the end times, again, to persecute God's people. And remember, the stone cut out without hands hits the image in the feet. That, to me, is speaking of the time. It'll be during that time. But then the whole image falls as we think back to Daniel. So the ten, but again, this 10-nation confederation, people kind of like that. You know, people like, we like to unite. We like to get together. That's why so many people are for the United Nations. So many people are for that. But again, that's why we all look at it and say, why? What in the world are, you know, what is that? How can they tell us, well, we just feel safe in more voices. I feel safe in the truth. Amen. That's how we should feel safe with the truth, not with a whole bunch of voices. But anyway, that's a whole other subject. The point is that will be a way to promote him. He will rise up through this 10-nation confederation. We know that three of the dictators, it would appear anyway, will be assassinated, killed in battle, whatever, and he will take control eventually of that. Then we come to what I have is capital D here, through a false religious system. And we talked about it a little bit. Verse 1, it again, I do need to remind you, I stood upon the sand of the sea. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, again showing the leadership there, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Again, this is blasphemy against God. And so, again, we have to understand that blasphemy is a religious term. It's a term of those that are against God. And so later, we have a false prophet who will come, and he will work with the beast, and he's a false prophet. He is religious. He is the top religious guy in the world at the time. And he'll have his own way of promotion into that position. And and it's going to be under the guise of religion. People say, oh, this is wonderful. It is wonderful. All these people are getting together and they even have a religious leader. Isn't that beautiful? Let's all hold hands and sing Kumbaya and maybe light a candle. You know, it's going to look so good. We see it, folks. We're seeing that kind of stuff happen. We're seeing all these things starting to take place. We just watch. It's been taking place for years. Religions have been trying to get together. And, you know, who's always in the way? I shouldn't say who's in the way. What's always in the way? The Word of God's always in the way. Can't we just get along? Can't we just all get together? Well, you know, tell me what you believe about this. We started our church in Bern, Indiana, and we were very, you know, Bern is a very religious Amish Mennonite area, and you know, at first people said, "Oh, you're starting a church, huh? What kind? Baptist? Oh, well, you know, are you with the Southern Baptist? Are you with the, and they're naming? No, we're independent. Oh, one of them. Oh." You know, it's going to get worse. You know, and so about the same time, an Episcopalian church started, which is very rare, you know, very rare. But it's a small town, and this fella, I remember talking to him one time, and he said, "Well," he said, "you know," he said, I know, we disagree on a lot of things." I said, "Oh yeah," I said, "the main thing is the Word of God." He said, "Can't we just put that aside?" I said, "We cannot put it aside. That's the truth. How do you lay the truth aside?" "Well, so we can get along." "I don't want to get along with you if you lay the truth aside. I mean, I'll be nice. I won't hit you. I won't do anything. But this is the truth. And if you're telling people, you know, that they have to work their way to heaven, then you're opposed to the truth. I can't get along with you. I can't get along with somebody who is telling people that a certain way is a way to heaven, and it's not the way. I have a hard time getting along. Now, I won't puncture your tires." And he tried to, you know, he said, "Well, you know, here's how I look at it." He said, "We're all in the same house. We're just in different rooms." I said, "Sir, you're not even on the same street." But, you know, here's how it's been, though, for a year. And you know this. We're not in the same neighborhood. And the neighborhoods are all moving away from us. They're getting farther and farther away. But it's okay. And again, it's not what we shouldn't look for. We don't want to fight anybody. I don't like to fight, especially the older I get. I wish everybody just loved me. But you know what? The truth, it does matter. When you think about the Fox's Book of Martyrs and the martyrs standing for the truth and how they die, we haven't seen anything. You know, "Well, somebody stuck their tongue out at me the other day." That's nothing. Who cares? Anyway, so, but religion will have a huge part in the tribulation time and in the work of the Antichrist. It is a religion that is always, it's been for years and years and years, but very much against God. And therefore, against the Word of God. Now, that's what we're seeing more and more today. We're seeing people opposing the Word of God. The King James Bible issue, you know, that came out several years ago, became a very big issue. By the way, praise the Lord, I'm glad it did. I'm glad people had to take a stand. "Oh, but we're losing people." Yeah, but I'm glad we got, at least it's out there. We know what the Word of God is. At least we took our stand on the Word of God. We need to take our stand on the Word of God. Amen. We cannot just walk away and just pretend like that's not an issue. That is the issue. It's the Word of God. Do we have it or don't we have it? And then it comes down to, will we obey the Word of God? Or are we going to play around with it? You know, well, God didn't mean this. Once we get saved, we can do whatever we want to do. That is not true. That has never been true. Now, does that mean God isn't necessarily going to crush you? God's chastening is up to God. God's dealing with is up to God. And we need to let God deal with what God deals with. But we have to preach. We have to teach our children. We have to keep telling people, hey, God's word is God's word. It's truth, and we need to obey it. Amen. Period. And that's what it is. You will see more and more the questioning of God's word. You will see more and more the questioning of authority as far as God's authority. Well, God, you know, God, he's just this, you know, he's just a gray-haired old man up there in heaven, just looking down, smiling and everything. Where in the world do people get this stuff? Where do people get this stuff? Where do we get the idea? When I have a bad thought and I dwell on it very long, I really feel bad. Amen. We should. You know, it's hard for me to go before God again till I get that right. And I mean, that would be the going before God, getting it right. God, I can't believe I dwelled on, well, I can believe it because I know me. And you know, you're talking to one who knows you. I'm getting way off on a tangent here, but you have to understand that religion is going to keep getting more and more weak. Whitewashing. It's going to get worse and worse. Burger King ministries are popping up everywhere. I mean, there's a new one everywhere. We were in Bluffton, Indiana, and there's like three or four new little storefront. You know, they take names like The River, The Path, Life. You know, I wish somebody would just be brave and name their church Death. You know, or something like that. You know, we're going to choose different names. Let's just come up, you know, just all these different, and again, I'm not mad at them. I'm just telling you, in so many cases, the issue is going to be, hey, nobody can tell us what we can do. We're tired. Mom and Dad told us what to do. We're not going to have some preacher telling us how to live. We're going to do whatever we want to do. That is, during the tribulation, that will be the word. You know, it'll be the word. Nobody has a right. It's a subtle way of saying God has no right to tell you what to do. So that'll be going on. And he'll be promoted because he will promote that and talk about love, L-U-V, with a little thing over the top. And it'll be huge, huge, huge. Capital E, he will be promoted through his own personal charisma and ability, and I believe Satan will certainly have a part in that, and with his power, he will make this person more charismatic, have more speaking ability. People will love him. People will accept him. He will be promoted. People will say, wow, what a speech. What a great charm. Now, that doesn't mean if you give a good speech that you're the Antichrist. It just means he will very seldom say the wrong thing as far as that which is politically correct. You know, we were with our family and talking recently about how, you know, people at work and people in positions of leadership, I mean, there's certain things you're not allowed to say anymore. There's just certain things, you know, if you say it, you're in trouble immediately. Sports figures, all this, you can't say it. And some people don't say it. People don't stand. It's like the the bearded people, the duck people, yeah. One of them took a stand against homosexuality. By the way, don't let them be your doctrine. Hello? You say, well, I kind of like it, you know, they pray. Okay, well, the Antichrist will pray. And I'm not saying they are, I'm just saying, you know, Church of Christ is next door, that's what they are. We're not. We don't believe in baptismal regeneration where you have to be baptized to be saved. That's works. Okay, so Church of Christ. So anyway, I'm not against them. I'm just saying, don't make that, you know, read your Bible and pray. And if you want to watch Duck Dynasty, that's up to you. But anyway, the guy says something against homosexuals. It's like, It's like, we're going to drop your show. We're going to do... You mean freedom of speech is only for the heathen to talk about, right? So the only people that can have freedom of speech is if somebody wants to blaspheme God. In other words, we can talk about everything, but we can't talk about things we believe in. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. You know, say something at your factory. Amen. You know. Okay, well, we'll move on. All right. Anyway, this guy, the Antichrist, he won't say anything wrong. He'll have that charisma, that ability. He will be promoted. He will say everything. He'll tell everybody what they want to hear. That's always funny to think about. All right, then, let's go ahead and have our ushers come. Y'all are a pretty tough crowd this morning, you know. It's because we smell the pancakes cooking. How many of you smell the pancakes? It's tough, isn't it? You ought to be right here. Somebody actually, sinfully, they left that door open so that I would smell all that. They do that, trying to get to my flesh. Anyway, capital F, as they go around with the plates, through a false or real resurrection. This is interesting here. Verse 3. It says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." There will be a resurrection type thing taking place. Again, I want to remind you, anti doesn't mean just against. It also means he copies everything. And Antichrist definitely is copying those things which our Lord has done. And so, as Jesus was incarnated, the Antichrist would appear to be, again, an incarnation, Satan in the flesh, et cetera, et cetera. So it shouldn't shock us that verse 3 is in there. There is some type of a false or real resurrection. And so some say, and again, there are commentaries. You have to be so careful. There's so many thoughts out there. Okay, and some say that the resurrection is the resurrection of the revived Roman Empire. In other words, the system which the beast represents, because it's one of the seven heads, it says here, it is that that is being revived. Now, I don't believe that. I don't think that. I wouldn't die for what I believe on that, because the Bible just doesn't say. I think it's a person. And I believe it's an imitation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, you say, why an imitation? You know, why? Because, again, Satan imitates God in so many things, and why not a resurrection? You know, why not an assassination and then a resurrection? Or why not he falls in battle and dies and is resurrected, you know? Again, what stronger method of promotion would there be than hey, our leader was killed, but he's been risen. Now, here's the thing. It says in verse 3, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed." Now, what is a deadly wound? Wouldn't that be a wound that's deadly? Yeah, you think I'm trying to trick you. I'm not smart enough to trick you, all right? But it's a wound that would, a wound to death, okay? But it says, as it were wounded to death. Now, you say, well, why don't you believe that he died and was risen again? Well, why don't I believe that? What? Okay, because we don't. It doesn't. But why else would I not believe that he died and was raised from the dead? Because God gives life. You know, that's Satan. You know, Satan does have powers, and if God allowed that, it doesn't say. But to me, it appears that as it were wounded to death, and therefore there is a wound that would kill. And people will believe, perhaps. It'll be the selling point. He died from this. And it will look that way, and there will be all the appearance of a resurrection. The scripture includes it here, and I think within this context, because again, it is one of those proofs of the promotion of the Antichrist and how, again, you know, for you and I to imagine people following this person, it, you know, but the deception is always so good. It is so powerful in people's lives, and I can't think of anything more any more powerful than, hey, this guy. Okay, how many of you read the Left Behind series, or you saw the? Okay, several have. Again, it's fiction. We recognize that. I don't agree with all of it, but in that it shows an assassination of the Antichrist, and you know this plot and everything all takes place, and he's assassinated. Well, again, think about that. So here's a worldwide leader who gets assassinated. And everybody's in tears, you know, because he's brought peace. Remember, the first half of the tribulation, other than what God is bringing, which is going to fuel the fire of people against God, you know, it's pretty peaceful. And so, you know, hey, this guy has brought all this peace and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, he's killed. Oh, we're devastated. But then he's brought back to life. That is going to, boy, you talk about people loving him. You talk about people following him. You talk about promotion of him. Now, you say, yeah, but, you know, people aren't going to fall for the, oh, people are going to fall for things. Satan is an expert at deceit. He's the father of lies. He's been deceiving for a long, long time. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, another verse, you know, we've talked about before. Excuse me, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9. Scripture says, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Lying, I mean, he's an expert at deceit. So how hard would it be if there is this wound and if, you know, it looks like he has died? Again, that would be a major way of promotion of the Antichrist. And again, he will get followers and more followers and more followers through that. honestly, it's amazing how many people are against somebody until they die, and then all of a sudden they're for them. Jesus talked about it when he talked to the Pharisees. He said, you whitewash their sepulchers. In other words, you know, the Pharisees, as long as a leader, a past leader was dead, oh, we think he's a great guy, we'll honor him. But they wouldn't honor somebody that was alive that was against him, you know. And so imagine, you know, anybody that was kind of negative toward this guy, well, then he dies. You know, oh, you know, we were just starting to see it his way, you know, but then he's brought back to life. Wow. The power of the promotion that would bring, it'd be worldwide. And again, nowadays, everything is worldwide. If you see it here, you can see it on the other side of the world with the internet, with the media the way it is, with Facebook, you know, whatever happens, you can see it. How many have already seen the fighter that had his leg broken in half? How many have already seen that? Nobody even knows about that? Wow, good. All right. I haven't seen it either, but I'm just waiting when, you know, oh, yeah, we saw that. We got this. Oh, that was really cool, because they won't show it on television. I don't know why. They show everything else. But anyway, I got to stop. I'm just smelling all that food. But anyway, just, you know, again, I've spent a lot of time because I want you to understand that the Antichrist will have a huge following. And I also want to bring it to the fact that when somebody, because we're going to get to the mark of the beast and talk about that, and there's not going to be a trick to getting the mark of the beast. I hear people all the time say, you know, well, I'm not going to let them even, you know, I go to the fair and they want to stamp my hand. I'm not going to let them stamp my... Okay, you can't be tricked into the mark of the beast. There's not going to be, and you can't anyway, if you're saved, you're going to be in heaven. But people aren't going to be tricked. They're going to choose. It will be an obvious choice. There will be an obvious choice made. It's not like, they want to put a computer chip in my hand, and I'm afraid that in that chip is the mark of the beast, and so I'm not going to let them do it. No. It's not going to be like that. You are going to have to show a loyalty to the Antichrist and a rejection of the Christ. And I believe that with all my heart. It's like that today in our salvation. You are either saved or you're not saved. You can't be tricked into getting saved. You know, you hear it all the time. Oh, you people trick people. You can't trick somebody into getting saved. Okay, now I know you might say the wrong things, and sometimes people do, but you can't, but that person's not saved. You can't trick people. It's we can't force people to get saved. You can't do it. Now, you can force somebody to make a profession, but that doesn't mean they're saved. That doesn't mean they've called upon Jesus. With the heart, man believes. And I'm telling you that in the tribulation time, people are going to choose the Antichrist because that's going to be their choice. And they are going to embrace him, and they are going to reject him. It's hard to believe. Hard to imagine. And yet we see it happening. We see it happening today.